The Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes. Okay, Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes. Gam Vashti Hamalka. Okay, Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes. Gam Vashti Hamalka. Also saw Mishtei Noshim based Hamalchus Asher LaMelech HaChashverosh. Okay, so there was competition. Competition is good or bad? Is competition good or bad?
It brings more sales. It's good.
Brings the cost down. Competition between Vashti and Achashverosh. Vashti also, it's very interesting. Why didn't why did she have to make her own party? You know, you don't have in the White House Obama making a Hanukkah party for Michelle making her own Hanukkah party. Hanukkah ticket's the hardest ticket in town. What?
I wasn't invited.
It's the hardest ticket to get invited to the presidential Hanukkah party. But you don't generally find that the wife, the queen, makes her own party. So this is a curious idiom, why Vashti saw to it to make her own party. Now notice here it says Gam. This is something that's going to repeat itself often. In the next few psukim, is that she called Vashti Hamalka or Hamalka Vashti? What comes first? Does her name come Vashti and then she's called Hamalka? Soon we're going to see when Vatimoein Hamalka Vashti. We jump ahead in Pasuk Yud Beis. When Achashverosh demanded that Vashti appear before him in front of the party without any clothing, and she refused with the title Vatimoein Hamalka Vashti. The word Malka comes before her name. Here it says Vashti Hamalka, which seems to indicate that she was secondary. When we put the title Malka after the name of the person, that has the connotation that the fact that she was the queen was secondary. What was first was who she was. She was just an ordinary person. Now obviously she was not ordinary because she was the queen, but the fact that we can contrast this pasuk with what it says later on, where it says Malka Vashti, indicates that this was not a party, a royal party. It was just a party for her friends. Okay, so this one it says Gavashti Malkosim Shirushin Beis HaMalchus Asher in the Beis HaMalchus in the palace Asher LaMelech HaChashverosh. Let's see what it says here in Rashi. There is no Rashi. Let's take a look at the Targum. Targum Pasuk Tes says Uf also Vashti Malkisa Rishi Asa. Okay, notice the Targum adds in an important word, the wicked Vashti. In fact, Chazal tells us that she was the one that was influential upon Achashverosh to issue the stop order of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. She also made for herself she made for herself a party for women. She made for a party for Noshim only, Beveis Malchusa in the palace, Asar the place Kiton Beis Demuch. Kiton is the garden. The garden of the Much of the palace. So the Targum adds in a very important word that it took place in the garden. The Lemalka Achashverosh, that was to the king Achashverosh. Okay, now it's not really clear. I've not come across too many commentaries on telling us why it was necessary for her to make this party. What was the significance in her making her own party? Okay, the Midrashim just focus on that she displayed also great wealth. Okay, I don't have here.
She was asserting her royalty.
Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, for now we'll leave it. Maybe at some point we'll come back. We'll see more. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yud. Bayom Hashvi'i Ketoyv Leiv HaMelech Bayoy.
Yeah. The party was different. In other words,
It was a party of what women like, things based on Hashem, things that women enjoy.
Drinking.
It was right. Even though it says that, right.
It was like fancy foods and nice ambiance.
Nice clothing. Women focus on the clothing and the curtains and the furniture. Many men focus on food. Women focus on decor. That's why it does not say here in the pasuk a mishta yayin. In pasuk, the three pasuk that describe the feast, pasuk vav, zayin, and ches, the emphasis was on the drinking, Right? It says, women are not into drinking. Therefore, women, they needed their own celebration to make it a Mishnei Noshim based on Mishnei Noshim. Okay, now, possibly the reason...
This smorgasbord at a wedding, sometimes the men are served to the men looks completely different.
Completely different. But the men, they don't serve food, they don't serve too much food altogether in some of the lower scale weddings. The women is where all the good food is. The men.
I think it's about Ash, because he put all the good cakes by the women,
they're not going to touch it. They put the salads. The men who need to go on a diet, they're the ones searching for the food. Okay, but it says here, now it could be the reason why this pasuk test is really giving us a hakdama as to why Achashverosh on pasuk Yud 1 demanded that Achashverosh appear before that Vashti appear before him, because if his wife was at home, in other words, it was separate seating. There was a separate seating party. If his wife was at home, they were not invited to this party, so then there would be no Yetzihara to bring the women to display them. If the women were anyway mingling among the men, so the men already see the women. This fact that Vashti made for herself her own separate party, so there was a ballroom filled with women, all dressed in fancy clothing, was the reason which brought out the Yetzihara in Achashverosh to demand that she appear before him in front of all of the other men. Again, but you see, if the women were not invited, it was just a men's night out. So Achashverosh would not even have a hava mina to demand that his wife appear before all the men to show off her beauty. And if the men and women were all mingling together in the ballroom, it was a regular, traditional, secular party where men and women come together, so there's nothing for Achashverosh to ask of Vashti. Everyone sees Vashti. She's present. Everyone is mingling and sitting together. But the fact that there were two separate parties taking place, one for men and one for women, and obviously they were in the same vicinity, as the Targum says, they were in the Beis HaMalchus, happening at the same time, and Achashverosh understood that in the other ballroom the women were all gathered together and the men were peeking in and looking at all the women, so now this is what aroused him, came up with the idea to brag and to show everyone among the men that his wife is the most beautiful, which led to her downfall, led to her death, and led to Esther becoming the queen. So this was, it is an important idea to know of how it came about, such an event. Pasuk Yud, Bayom HaShvi, on the day on the seventh day, Kitoy of the party, Kitoy Vleiv HaMelech Bayoyin. As we made the calculation yesterday, this day was the night of Pesach. It was the 15th day of Nisan. We made the calculation that the party was really 185 days. Yomim Rabim Shmoinim U'ma'as Yom. Shmoinim U'ma'as is 180. Yomim is 2. Rabim is 3. For a grand total of 185 days, starting from Rosh Hashanah, from Aleph Tishrei, going until Ches Nisan. And now on Ches Nisan we have another 7 days. So the last day of the party was on the 15th day of Nisan, a time that is miyuchid, mesugal for Nisan v'niflois in Klal Yisrael. So Bayom Hashvik Toiv Lemelch Bayon, when his heart was good with wine, Omar he said Limuhuman. He said to the seven officers, who are the seven leaders, the seven advisors, Limuhuman, which we know to be is Haman, Bizisa Charvayna, Bigisa Vavagsa Zesar Vicharkas, Shivas, who are these seven people? These are the Shivas Sahasarisim, Hamisharsim Espne Amelach Achashverosh. He said to these seven officers who would minister in the presence of the King Achashverosh. Pasukir Aleph, what did he say to them? He said Lehavi that she should be brought as Vashti Hamalka, Lifnei Hamelach Bechesser Malchus. The emphasis with the Keser Malchus and nothing else. Leharois, to display Hoamim Vehasarim, the nations and the Sarim, Es Yafya, Kitevas Marahi, to display her beauty. Let's see Rashi. Pasuk Tes. Pas Bayom Hashvi, Rabbeinu Amru Shabbos Hoya. That this event took place on Shabbos Kodesh. Bayom Hashvi'i, it was, and we'll explain right now, because it was her custom, Vashti, to force her Jewish servants to work naked on Shabbos Kodesh. Vashti was well aware. Vashti was the daughter of Baal Shetzar. Baal Shetzar was the one who destroyed. Baal Shetzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. It was her great grandfather that destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. So she wanted to continue the tradition of humiliating the Jewish people. And therefore, she took the slaves who were Jews and demanded that they work naked on Shabbos Kodesh. Now, there are two. There are two separate things that she did. Number one, she forced them to be mechallel Shabbos, to work on Shabbos. And number two, she forced them to work naked on Shabbos, to humiliate themselves by not wearing clothing. This Chazal, they learned from her that these two things obviously represent, if these are the two things that Vashti selected, obviously these two things capture a very significant degree in the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And in fact, Ad Hayom Hazeh, the Gedola Yisrael, they all are fighting for these two midas. Number one, the midah of Shabbos Kodesh. More than the Jew keeps Shabbos, Shabbos keeps the Jew. And the second theme is Tznius. The second thing is called Kavuda Bas Melech Pnima. And it's not just for women, it's a midah for men as well. That the inyan of concealing of tznius, of modesty. Modesty is not just for women, it's for men. We live in a generation where, what's the word, a narcissistic society. Facebook, Twitter, it's all about me, myself, and I. Everyone has whatever you have to offer, you have to show off. Everyone has to have a Facebook page, and every 5 minutes you have to post a selfie. This whole concept today of this generation of a selfie, they even sell even the cell phones today. I wish they went into a store to inquire about getting a new cell phone. My cell phone is on its last leg. Can't recharge it. The port to put my recharger is already, it doesn't work. So I go into, and so they show me cell phones. What's the advantage of this cell phone? Because when you take a selfie, it automatically knows how to adjust to take the ideal selfie. The whole goal, the whole marketing is a selfie. It's unbelievable. Ad kedei kach, because you have to take a selfie of yourself and post it online and Facebook to show the world. This is kineged kol haTorah kula. I mean, I don't mean that. I'm just trying to emphasize the point. The need of Torah is tznius, is modesty, and modesty perhaps is more of a yetzar for men than it is for women. Men have a need. There is, if you have yirah shemayim, you recognize that there's more to the world than yourself. It's about a kadosh baruch hu. It's about the olam ha'emes. About what's going to happen after you're no longer in this world. Automatically, that forces you to come to a realization that there is a value to humility, modesty, and distancing yourself from the public eye, which the secular world has a very hard time understanding. Vashti had an appreciation that this was the mile of Klal Yisrael, and therefore when she wanted to desecrate the Kiddush of Klal Yisrael, it was specifically that they should work without clothing. Now, you see, you have to understand something. It doesn't just mean, on a very simple level, to work without clothing means, it means to humiliate. You can argue and you can suggest that Derech Jewish is to display the beauty of the body. Telling the Jewish people don't have to wear beautiful clothing. If you show, display, just like she had no shame in coming in front of Achashverosh naked, in front of all of the people, Chazal make it very clear, she also was Nischavna L'Hashem Aver. She also would have been very happy to appear without clothing in front of all of Achashverosh and all of his men. The only reason why she said no was because she had Tzaras. Suddenly she was afflicted with Tzaras. She
didn't want to be humiliated.
Why did she not want to be humiliated? Because she suddenly was afflicted with tzaras and she grew a tail.
Well,
and she grew a tail. But not because, according to similar Chazal say, the husband with his big melons and she with her small melons. Chazal make it clear that she had no problem whatsoever appearing in front of Achashosh without any clothing, just to show the Kesem Malchus. She wanted to show the world how beautiful she is. And this is something which was accepted, this is something which was promoted. She, now this is a dush, when she demanded that the Jewish slaves work on Shabbos without clothing, it wasn't just a form of humiliation. That's one level of interpretation. I want to humiliate you. I want you to work without clothing. But on a deeper level, she was trying to influence the Jewish people. What's so terrible if you have a Facebook page? What's so terrible if you take a selfie every 5 minutes? You're in the palace, take a selfie, post it online. Why do you, the Jewish people, continue to believe that there's a virtue in modesty? Why don't you display yourself, if you have something good to show, why don't you display yourself to the entire world? Follow in the image of the Umos HaOlam. This was what she was trying to break down the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Mida Kenegah Mida, she was punished in this fashion. It was beyond that. She was murdered, she was put to death on Shabbos, and she was put to death because of her Mida of displaying herself, the promoting that a person can walk around without clothing, so therefore she was punished in this fashion. That's a deeper understanding of what she was trying to do. These are two critical yisodas and nifon. That's what he said in the Mishnah. Also here he elaborates, and bizman hazeh, this is something that we have what to learn from the kedusha of Shabbos. Shabbos says b'yom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is His world. He created this world. Shabbos is the day that we devote to recognition that it's Hashem's world. And number two, modesty. Modesty is not just for women. Modesty is an attitude in life. Not every gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you is required to reveal to the entire world. You don't have to spend all your money to build the most beautiful house and to display your wealth and your success and brag about your grandchildren. You know, that's also an indicator of modesty. It's not to brag. People, they're blessed, they have fantastic grandchildren, and the only thing that comes out of their mouth the whole day is, you know, my grandchild did this, my grandchild did that, and this and that. Not everyone is zocha to have such success. It's not necessarily pleasurable to listen to people brag about themselves the entire day. Okay, so let's see the Targum. Targum will be a little. Wait, let's see the next Rashi. Let's first see the Rashi. I'm sorry, we have one thing at a time. It was Yom HaShabbos. Rashi says that this event took place on Yom HaShabbos. Now, who are the seven Yom HaShabbos? We say the Amru Shabbos Hoya. Okay, there is no more Rashi. Let's take a look at the Targum. As I mentioned yesterday, I do not know the translation of all the words of the Targum, so we'll just try to extract from the Targum a few ideas that we can, based upon what we can figure out. Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud. Mordechai Tzadikah. So he immediately adds something that's not in the Pasuk. Doesn't say anywhere that Mordechai is present, but the Targum adds, Mordechai Tzadikah, Pasuk Yud, Tzalei Kodom Hashem Min Yoma, Davin from Yoma Kadma'a, De Mishtaya Ad Yoma Shevi'a'a, Dihu Shabbosa, La Chamo, Loi Ochal, Umoi Loi Shesa. Mordechai HaTzadik, from the beginning of the party to the end of the party, fasted. He fasted for 7 days. He did not eat bread and did not drink water. You'll ask, how was it possible to survive without food for 7 days? Chazal tell us a person cannot possibly live without food for 3 days. If I'm not mistaken, for 3 days, he can't live without food for more than 3 days. Without water for 3 days, how did he survive? Look, Moshe Rabbeinu, he went to Shemayim for 40 days and he survived. So whatever it means. But it says here he fasted for 7 days. And now it was Yom HaShivi'ah. And Mordechai was mispalel during these 7 days. Obviously, he felt that it was an ace tzara. If Achashverosh is making a celebration to celebrate the downfall of the Jewish people and the fact that they have not yet been redeemed, will never be redeemed, it was a cause. So Mordechai viewed this as an ace tzara. When the goyim celebrate, we learn from this that we have to fast. And on the seventh day of Yom HaShivi'ah, the Hava Shabbosah, on day seven, which was Shabbos, Alas Kivilsei, his prayer. Kivilsei means his request for mercy. Uvikivlas Sanhedrin. Here the Targum adds the prayer of Sanhedrin. They also were fasting during this period of time. Kodom Hashem. It entered before Hashem. Hashem was accepted the prayer. And what happened? Zechad Shefar Liba de Malka Bechamra. Now the Targum reverts back to translating the Pesukim according to its literal interpretation. When the heart of the king was good with wine, he was a little too drunk. Gorei be malacha dishagista le'erba le'mishtohoin. So the malachim in Shemayim were dispatched to ruin the party. The Targum is going to learn here that these seven names, these seven officers that are mentioned here in the pasuk, limhuman, bizisa, charvayna, biksa, vavaksa, zesar v'charkas, in addition to its simple interpretation that these were seven real people that served as ministers before Achashverosh, it also refers to seven angels. Seven angels in heaven were now dispatched to wreak havoc among the people at this party. Now, what are these names? So the Targum actually elaborates what is the significance of these names. So these Gorei Be Hashem dispatched Malacha, angels, Dishagista Le'arbola Mishtaho. Now that basically means to wreak havoc upon the people at the party. Bechein, therefore, Omar Limhuman, Hashem said, the one that's speaking here is Hashem. Hashem said, Limhuman, Bizisa, Charvayna, Biksa, Vavaksa, Zesar, Vicharkas. Who are these seven angels? The Targum explains. Muhumman, it means the Nismane al Muhumsa. A Muhumma is confusion. This angel is in charge of confusion. If you ever go to an event and everyone is just lingering about and everyone is just confused, you know that the Malach Mehuman is present. Can you ever go to a wedding?
A lot of places.
In shul, at weddings, at bar mitzvahs, you walk on the street, everyone is just, they're just dreaming. You know the Malach Mehuman is there.
Also says that if you rearrange the letters, it becomes Memunet.
Appointed.
The angel appointed
to wreak havoc. At this point. But what is his job? Muhumta. Muhumta means confusion. Bizisa, buzbesa, to bring disgrace. Another malach. A second malach brings disgrace. He brings disgrace to the home. Charvona. Acharbe, I think, means destruction is there. Churban is there. Destruction is there. Bigasa Vavaksa, now he puts together two of the malachim together. Asid Morei Alma, La Asa'o Yoson, Kigever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to crush them. I don't know the exact translation of these words, but the theme here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the people there and step on them and crush them like you crush olives in a Beis Chabad or grapes in a gas, in a wine press. Asid Mori Alma La Asa'a Yoshon, to crush them, Kigever the Otsar Anvoihi Ba'atsarta Train Zimnin, twice. Like a person crushes the grapes in the wine press twice. Va'asid litzado ushoin ulishab ushoin, and Hashem will entrap them. And the other word lishab ushoin is another word which also means something similar to trapping. Shavo rabonayo deshamshin be elain, the seven ministers that are serving in this palace. During Bilein Shavo Yomin Kodom Ape Malka Achashverosh, before the king Achashverosh. So obviously the basic gist of the Targum is, hey, without going into the exact details, the basic gist over here is that it was on day 7, it was Shabbos Kodesh. That's number 1. Mordechai HaTzadik was praying all 7 days. Everyone was eating and drinking. Mordechai was fasting. When the world, when the Umos Olam are celebrating your defeat, that's a time of an Es Tzara, when you should put yourself together and fast and pray to Hashem. It was on day 7. On day 7 it says in the Targum that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the prayer of Mordechai HaTzadik, accepted the prayer of the Sanhedrin, and now dispatched 7 angels. The 7 angels in Shemaim were dispatched corresponding, seemingly what the Targum was saying, corresponding to the 7 ministers that were serving before the king on these 7 days. And the basic job of these 7 angels was to create confusion, to bring bizyonos, to bring churbin, and to crush the people like you would crush grapes in a wine press, and cause great problems at this party.
To crush Ahasuerus by
killing his wife by Ahasuerus. We're going to see he had a lot of tsar. He really did not want to kill his wife. He did something foolish, but he was trapped. He was trapped into being required, according to the law. He consulted with his advisors, and he had no choice but to execute his wife. Maybe he did have a choice, but he was convinced he received bad advice.
We'll get there.
Okay, so this is so he was crushed, and Churban came back. Yeah.
So the tefillah only was for a short term lifting of whatever, because ultimately we see
all right, so this in this, to a certain degree, was a very great salvation. Vashti was extremely wicked. Vashti was the one at this moment in time that influenced Ahasuerus to destroy, to cancel the work of the Beis HaMikdash. It was she that obviously had influence on celebrating the downfall of the Jewish people. 70 years have passed and they have not yet been redeemed. She was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, the great-great of Nebuchadnezzar, and she had a personal interest in making sure that the Jewish people would be exiled, would be destroyed completely. And she, continuing the policies of the Nebuchadnezzar, she was a carryover from the Malchus of Bavel, and she wanted to make sure that this indeed would continue forever. And here, when she was killed, that evil influence came to an end, and Ahasuerus now was open to marrying Esther, which would obviously have a positive influence upon him, and the positive influence would one day be to execute Haman and to allow their son Daryavesh would ultimately succeed Ahasuerus and would once again allow the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash to resume. So the tefillah of Mordechai here was critical. Mordechai's tefillah and the tefillah of the Sanhedrin, which we have no mention of. Where does it say in the Pasuk anywhere there was a Sanhedrin? This all something which the Targum adds was accepted on this day. This day, according to most of the Chazal, as we mentioned, was the night of Pesach. The night of Pesach is an Eis, a special Eis Rotzayn, a Zman of Shimur, a Lel Shimurim. It's a light of Shimurim, and the ultimate Shimurim was that Vashti was killed. Vashti was killed exactly 70 years to the day from the time of the Golus Yehi HaYochin. Okay, let's see. Now go to the next pasuk in the Targum. The Targum of pasuk Yud Aleph says, "What was his demand? His demand was Ugzar Malka al Ilein Shavo Rabonaya. He commanded upon these 7 officers La'ai So'o to bring Yos Vashti Malkisa, Vashti the queen." So here we go back to the Rashi and Chazal.
We read it.
L'havi, I read the pasuk already. Pasuk Yud Aleph again. L'havi es Vashti Hamalka lifnei Hamelach bechesser Malchus, with nothing other than the chesser Malchus, meaning she should come naked. L'haros to display ho'amim to the amim vehasodim es yofia ki tovas marehi. So the Targum says, Targum Pasuk Yud Aleph says, what was his decree? Ugzar Malka alilein shav'o rabonaya la'ayisa'o, to bring Yos Vashti Malkasa artilta naked. She had to appear naked in front of the party. Why? So he tells us here, the Targum tells us, according from the Gemara, Al Isak, due to her, due as a punishment for what she did, the Havas Mifalcho Yos Ben Asad Yisrael Artilan, as we discussed before in great detail, because she forced the Jewish girls to work naked in front of her, Umi Fanson Amar Vichiton, and to Umi Nafson Amar Vichiton, I think it means to comb wool and linen, the Yoma de Shabbosa, to do work, basically to do work, combing wool linen on Shabbos. Uvegin came because of this. Midik negemida is gazar Allah. It was decreed upon her la aisaya artilah midik negemida to be brought naked, biram, with the exception of the kelila de malchusa al reisha, with the exception of the crown upon her head. Begin zuchusa de alvish nevuchanetzar avuhi di abba yos Daniel. Now, this is a very an amazing matter. What it says over here is, why was she at least, even though she was naked, and that would simply be an embarrassment. That's what we discussed. Was it called an embarrassment? Was she embarrassed? Yes or no? So Pasha says she didn't feel embarrassed. Maybe well, that goes back to, well, she had saras. That will come to that in a few moments. But she did wear the crown. So the crown was her saving grace. Maybe by people looking at the crown, they would not look at her with spare part of the shin. There was something more interesting to look at than to look at her nakedness. So the crown, why did she merit to wear the crown? Also, mida keneged mida. Because the Nebuchadnezzar, he avu al da'aba, her great-grandfather, he dressed Yos Daniel with argamon, purple robes, that's big day malchus, argivona, uvegin came because of this, gizar lemheve aisa kodamohi bechlil de malchusa, it was rewarded that she would appear in front of the world, all of the so'anim and the sodom with the crown, la'ach zo'o la'amma v'rav rivanaya, Arum Shapiras Chazuhi. The reason why all of this was to take place was because she was beautiful. So here we have an incredible yesoid in life, that at the very same moment in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could reward and punish. Punishment is not the balance. Person, it's a foolish thing to think that you come to Shemayim, so if I've done 50 mitzvos and I've done 49 averos, I win. So the 49 averos is deducted from the 50 mitzvos, so the bottom line is you have one mitzvah, you come to Shemayim, I have one mitzvah. It's no such thing. You come to Shemayim, for the 50 mitzvos you're rewarded, for the 49 averos you're punished. And not only that, you're rewarded and punished at the same exact moment. Here, Avashti, it was decreed that she should come and she should be on display. It was bizyonis. It was a punishment that she would be not dressed for the sin, the avera, of forcing the Nashim of Klal Yisrael to work without clothing, but at the very same time, she would appear with a crown. And the crown would also be a saving grace, to some degree, in reward for the fact that her great-grandfather was Mechabed Daniel. Obviously, Nebuchadnezzar recognized that Daniel had a spark of holiness. He represented who he was. And he dressed him lufi kavodai by having him wear the royal clothing. In reward for this, his great-granddaughter, at the time of her bizyonos, was spared to have dignity to wear her crown. Okay, this is a very, very interesting idea at the same exact moment in time. Okay, so let's go to the next pasuk. Now, before you go further, there is one other idea I want to mention. Okay, we mentioned the reason why she wanted the Jewish girls to appear naked. So those who came in late, we said because it wasn't just she wanted to humiliate them; she wanted to influence the Jewish girls to be proud of pritzus. She wanted the Jewish girls to. She wanted to train them, just like among the umos olam, among the goyim, people are proud to display their bodies. It's something which people take pride in. It's samayla. So the Klal Yisrael, you should abandon the meat of tznius. Take pride in your body. So it wasn't just a humiliation. It was a form of breaking down the barriers of tznius. Another approach is, that we've said until now, is that there are two midos Vashti tried to remove from Klal Yisrael. The Kedusha of Shabbos and the Kedusha of Tznius. The way we've explained it thus far is these two midos really have nothing to do with one another. They're two separate things. She recognized Klal Yisrael's Kedusha can be found in Shabbos Kodesh and in the mid of Tznius. And if these two things are broken down, Klal Yisrael and Mimela will disintegrate. They'll fall away. On the other hand, there's another approach that no, these two things indeed do go together. We all know that on Shabbos, we wear special clothing. Big day Shabbos. So the clothing was the enhancement of Shabbos. The kavod. Shabbos is a day of kavod ulasefar. It's a day when we, to mechabed the kedusha Shabbos. So therefore, it was specifically on Shabbos she forced them to work without clothing. Because for Klal Yisrael, Shabbos is a day when we don't work. Shabbos, there's a negative and a positive. There is zohar v'shamar. The zohar is the negative. I'm sorry, is the positive, and the shamar is the negative. The shamar is we don't do melacha on Shabbos, and zohar is to sanctify the Shabbos by being mechabe the Shabbos. The clothing represented the inyan of the zohar, and the melacha, bittul melacha, represents the concept of shamar. So Vashti, by telling these girls on Shabbos not to do melacha and to do without clothing, it was a one shot action which broke down both the zohar and the shamar of kedusha Shabbos. She was forced to come and appear naked before Achashverosh on Shabbos. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Beitz. Vatimoein hamalka vashti lavo b'dvar hamelech asher b'yad hasarisim. She refused to appear through the word of the melech asher b'yad that was delivered to the sarisim, to the officers. Vayiksev melech ma'od, he was extremely angry. Vachamoso ba'arabo. And his fury, his anger burnt within him. Now notice we mentioned before, see first the Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vatimen Hamalka Vashti, Rabbi Seinu Amru, why did she refuse? One of two reasons, Fisha Parcha Lo Ba Tsaras, either she was smitten with Tsaras, Kedei She Timoein, she should refuse to appear before Achashverosh, V'Tehareg, and should be killed, Lufi Shehoisa, so here the Rashi just quoting what already the Targum told us in the previous Pasuk, Lufi Shehoisa Mifa Shates, Benos Yisrael Arumos, she would strip the Jewish girls naked, v'oisa b'chem melacha b'Shabbos nigzar olecha shetifshat aruma b'Shabbos, she should be stripped naked on Shabbos. Vayiktsov shesholcho loy divrei gnai. Vayiktsov, why was Achashverosh angry? Because she responded, she sent back words of insult to Achashverosh. The Gemara says, what did she say to Achashverosh? She said, you are a stable boy, you are nothing, you were the one who would clean the tsoya, the excrement of the horses for my great grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, and now you think you're a melech, and you think and another that right away anger. When you remind a person of their humble past is a very good technique to get a person angry. Who do you think you are? You're good for nothing. You used to mop the floors. All of a sudden, you think you're a king. So that got him angry. Number two, Chazal say she said to him, "My grandfather Belshazzar." My father, Belshazzar, he could drink keneged the entire party.
Drink you under the table.
You take a few shots of wine, you're already drunk, and you're asking me to do unreasonable things, telling me to appear in front of you naked. Okay, that's the second thing which insulted, that you don't know how to hold your liquor. And that in ancient times is a very great insult. Today people, it depends where. Depends where and who. But in ancient times, to show that you're a man, You don't want to be called a girly man, to quote Arnold Schwarzenegger. Right? You don't want to be called
a sissy,
a wimp. Okay, so men took it very personally if you were a wimp. So to tell a person you can't hold your liquor, that was the ultimate insult, and therefore he was extremely angry. And this, of course, was displayed publicly. This message was relayed to him publicly. Everyone knew exactly what the queen said. The next thing was she said to him the words are Vatimoein Hamalka Vashti. We mentioned this when we started. When Achashverosh demanded that she be brought, so he said Lohavi es Vashti Hamalka. Okay, she made a party. Gam Vashti Hamalka also said Mishtein Hashem, and when he demanded that she be brought, he called her first Vashti, and then he called her the Malka. She said, "How dare you call me first Vashti, then the Malka? I am the Malka Vashti," meaning I have the yichus, not you. Who do you think you are? You married rich. I'm the miyucheses. I'm the granddaughter. I'm the daughter of Baal Shetzar. You were just a stable boy. I'm the Malka. How dare you say that I'm subordinate to you? I'm just Vashti, and who happens to be the queen because I'm married to the king. I'm the Malka, and you are the one who is subordinate to me. It's like in England today. Who's the one who wears the pants? Queen. The queen of England. What's her name? Elizabeth?
Yes.
What?
Yes, it's
Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth, right? Kate. She's the... She's the one. No one has paid attention to William. Everyone's paying attention to her. Right, so who's the one in charge here? Who's the one that has the public appeal? So this, again, was another form of insult to Achashverosh. Let's see the Targum Pasuk Yibeis. V'sorivas malkiso vashti. She refused. L'me'al, to enter. B'gzeras me'ma malka. To enter through the decree of the word of the king, the ispak das that was delivered, biyat rav rivonaya, that was delivered through the officers. What? I didn't say that. That's the Rashi. I didn't say the Rashi. Vatimoein. She was stripped naked. Neither can I get me like what it says in the Targum. Okay, so let's go back to the Targum over here. Pasuk Yudbeis. So she refused because there was Meimad Malka the Ispak Pakta Biad Rav Rivanoy Urigiz Malka Lachada. The king was extremely angry. Lachada little means one. One. Now they mean Ma'od. Ma'od is an expression which means in anger that one of a kind. His anger was flared up to in a unique way. The Chemsa Ras Chasbe. Chad, one, exactly one.
A sharp
ma'od. He's translating the words Vayitzov HaMelech Ma'od. Ma'od means he was never so angry. This, the degree of anger that was reached at this moment in time was unique, and it demanded a unique response. The Chemsa Ras Chasbe, and his fury burnt within him. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer HaMelech LaChachamim Yodei Huitim Kichein Dvar HaMelech Lefnei Kol Yidei Dos Vodin. The king said to the Chachamim, who knew the times, this was the Dvar HaMelech, this was the custom. Dvar of Yamin, this was the Hanhaga of the king. Lefnei Kol Yodei Dos Vodin. To consult, you have to add a couple of words into the pasuk. It was his custom to consult matters before people who knew law, dos vodin, the law, and two different expressions which mean mishpat, all various laws. Now, who were the people that he consulted with? Let's see. Rashi pasuk Gimel says, "Kichein dvar hamelech, kichein minik hamelech b'chol mishpat, lo sum es hadavar." Rashi is adding words into this pasuk. This is a mikro choser. There are missing words in the pasuk.
You said earlier,
yeah,
one of the good things.
Oh, so this is one of the milas. This was a mila. This was a very big mila. On the one end, these two things are juxtaposed. Kind of, that's one of the very big mila, very fascinating things about the Megillah. You can make a whole drasha on this. A whole Megillah out of this, exactly. Is that we're always contrasting weaknesses and strengths. Achashverosh, from the very beginning. Yesh oimrim melech tipish haya. The yesh oimrim, he was a chacham. We learned before, Vashti. Vashti appeared naked. But she wasn't totally naked, she was wearing the crown. Being naked was a punishment for the sins that she had done, but wearing the crown, that was her saving grace, that was a reward for the deed of Nebuchadnezzar that dressed Daniel in Bigdei Malchus. At the same exact moment, there's good and bad. Here, Achashverosh was a kasan. There's no worse nida than a kasan.
So call Malachim pushed, kept that anger going.
Okay, they kept it going, but there had to be something there to work with. Achashverosh had the worst possible. This is the worst possible need a person could have. Kol akoyes ki ilu oyved avodah zarah. Chazal described this, and then the very next pasuk, the biggest milah you can possibly have. It cannot be a bigger milah than knowing, than saying, I don't know the answer. Tachlis ha'idia leida shaloi neida. Achashverosh could have said, I'll make all decisions. No, I don't know. I'm going to ask my advisors. An incredible milah. Right, that's what I once discussed a few times, and the scope people, historians have always taken note that the greatest leaders were always the ones that knew their limitations. Jimmy Carter sat the whole night in the White House and did everything himself. He micromanaged everything. That he only served, was one of the very few presidents that only served one term. Incumbents almost always, they will come out bleeds in a cloud, they only maybe two or three that didn't make it into a second term. Bush, number one. Jimmy Carter, I think maybe only one or two other presidents. The incumbents always, they always make it in. What was his chassad? Historians write, they say, his major chassarin in his legacy is he did not let anyone do anything else. He had to do everything. He micromanaged. Bush W, what is his biggest smiler? Go Google this. He did nothing. Basically, he delegated every single thing. I once saw a documentary. They interviewed people. There was so on when he was governor in Texas. And basically, everything, he did almost nothing. He said, people would, they had to make a big decision, so he had a mumche come and work for months doing research. And the guy comes in, and it was already like 12. It was already like 12 o'clock. And he wanted to go home. And he comes in with a stack of books to report. He's ready to give him a drasha for 3 hours, telling him the research of what. So Bush had no patience. He says, "Just tell me, what do you advise? Don't give me. Just tell me. You advise? Okay." Fine, if that's what your conclusion is, he delegated everything to the expert. So this is exactly what it says here, and the Medrash explicitly says this. He says, we discussed this 2 days ago, one of the four milas of Achashverosh was he knew how to delegate, he knew how to know his limitations. And that's exactly what it's over here.
It could also be plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability to save her. He didn't have to ask. He could have just ignored it. I mean, it's Meislem Bechol Yom. Oh, women, they insult their husbands. They tell off their husbands. So what's the big deal? So she insulted him. Right? So she insulted him. So big deal. He didn't have to do anything. He just could have ignored it. No. This was an insult to my kavod. What should we do? So he brings in Haman. Haman had his own agenda. Doesn't say there's a marriage that Haman had a daughter. He wanted his daughter to be the next queen.
There are various.
All these different times, Haman has agenda. So of course Haman is going to advise him that he should kill the queen in order to advance his own agenda. But whatever the case over here is, this is indeed considered to be Chazal give him high praise. He kichein devar hamelech, as Rashi says, this was his minog, a beautiful minog to know your limitations, to consult with other people. And Pasuk Yud Gimel is juxtaposed with Pasuk Yud Beis, where we describe his worst midah. His worst midah is vacha. Okay, let's take a look over here what it says in the Targum. The Targum Pasuk Gimel says, "Va'amar Malko lechakimaya." Now, who were the Chachamim? So the Targum very explicitly says they were Bino Diyisachar. Okay, if you want to read the Yisachar, the Bino Yisachar, the Chakimin Manda'a Beidonaya Vizimna Beseifer Araisa. They were the Bnei Yisachar, the Bnei Bina. Okay, it's Chanukah soon. Bnei Bina Yimei Shmoina. Bnei Bina who are Yisachar, the Yoidei Bina, they know the times. So he consulted with the Chachamim. They were his first choice in advising him what to do with Achashverosh. The Chakimin, they understood time. Be'idonayah, in zman, vizim, two different expressions, idanaya, vizimnaya, besefer, arise in the law in the Torah, v'chushbon, alma, and calculations, arum, hechdein, he consulted with them in order to know, yo'o, lemeve, what is the proper thing to do, mismalel, piskamalka, kodom, kolch, Lemheve mismamel piska malka kodam kol hakim viode oraisa vidina. I don't know exactly how to translate those words. I do not know, but the basic gist over here is that he consulted with the talmidei chacham because they were experts in times. Now the big mystery over here is what does itim have to do with this decision? She insulted him. So you should consult with anger management specialists. Why is he consulting with people that are experts in astrology, and astronomy, and zmanim? What does this have to do? What does zman have to do with a woman getting angry at her husband? What?
The reaction of the people.
So you say something very profound. What you want to say is that what's going to be the long term effect of such enechadam? That's one approach. This, what are the consequences? People, the Talmidei Chacham, when it says they know the times, this doesn't just mean they know how to calculate. They know how to project, to make projections and long term projections. If we enact a policy, which captures within it the concept of time. Therefore, what will be the long-term consequences of a queen rebelling against her king 50 years from now? Should we? How do we? That's why he consulted with the Chacham. That's one approach.
The initial trigger here is the fact that what do we care what their names are? That's the first. That's what prompts all of these comments. Maybe they were Jewish advisors, so that's this.
Targum says.
Well, the Targum was saying they were. The Targum was saying that these people simply, the Karshnosh, Sarnosis, Arshish, they were the ones, well, it's not really, okay, it's not really clear, I don't know. We have to read the next passage.
The Targum says, is an opinion, it's not all.
It's not the only opinion, absolutely, there are many opinions.
But you don't know about that. Risha Sitzim is a very interesting shot, a double shot. One is like, they went to the Jewish things because they knew Jews and their best in the relations. They were always looking for the top spooks.
Right.
Not only Kav Chayim. So that he wanted really an Eitzim.
He wanted.
The other Eitzim is almost like astrologers. There are certain times that it's not spoke, you can do certain things.
Look into the stars.
Yeah.
What does it say in the Mazalos?
So the Jews knew.
Okay, so you're saying two different things entirely. You're saying is that you say they look into the mazalos to see if she deserves to die. What are the mazalos? Avodah Zarah. What are the mazalos? What's her mazal? Is her mazal that she should not be the queen? Be the queen? Or you want to say the other thing you want to say is looking for a zuchus. He realized, according to similar, is that he's in a very bad situation. Public opinion demands that she be put to death. That's what appears. That's what you're saying. That's the public opinion. He's looking to be melamed zuchus to find the merit. Who better be melamed zuchus? Who is there better in this world to be melamed zuchus other than the Sanhedrin? The Sanhedrin, the Talmidei Chachamim, they know how to find merits for other people. So that's why. Or the other reason we said is because we want to project times, to project what's going to happen years from now. Is this sin going to have an effect upon the Malchus? Yeah, what do you want to say?
Because it happened in public. It's a bigger bezoyin.
Yeah. So what's the itim? What do you mean by the itim?
It refers to the zman when it happened.
The time when it happened. It was done in public.
They eat him because it happened the way in public.
Okay, all right, okay. You have to study along. Okay. Another, now we really mentioned this yesterday, is he wanted to know what is the Jewish date. Because we mentioned yesterday, he made a calculation, he's going to make a party for 185 days. 185 days takes us to Zayin, and then takes them to Chodesh Nisan, and then he has 7 days, which concludes on Pesach. They're celebrating the last day of the party. The last day of the party is the anniversary of the Yom Tov of Pesach. But he wants now. What else was it the anniversary for? it was also the anniversary of the yahrzeit of her father. When was Belshazzar killed? The night of Pesach. We say this in the Haggadah, in one of the piyutim, I think, Mi'adir, we make mention, maybe it's another piyut, whatever we say, but in one of the piyutim we make mention, Ayiba Chatzia Laila. Belshazzar was killed the night of Pesach.
And it isn't listed.
In this...
The one that you keep saying was it took place on Pesach, that isn't listed, but another incident which we know that
yes.
Pesach is listed there.
Which one?
That
Achashverosh
could not sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
That was by Malailah. Who that was the night. That was the night of. That was not a Pesach. Right. That was a, so this also. So this, according to some of the commentators, now therefore that would be the biggest zuchus, because it was the minug. This goes to show that this was even a non-Jewish minug, that on the day of the yard site you don't go out in public. So he tried to consult with the Chachamim, tell me, what is the Hebrew date? And if the Chacham would say to Achashverosh that it is the 15th night of Nisan, the night that your queen refused to appear before you was the 15th day of Nisan, Achashverosh would say, good, that's the best excuse possible, because that's the yahrzeit of her father. Belshazzar was killed on the 15th night of Nisan. And everyone knows that on the yahrzeit you don't go to a party. Like even today, people who have on the day of the yahrzeit, they don't go to weddings, they don't go to simchas, they stay home. So therefore, that would be the limud zchus for her. However, the response, this is a Jewish, it's not necessarily correct, was no, it was an ibiyar, it was a leap year. So therefore, the party took place not on the 15th night of Nisan, it took place on the 15th night of Adar Sheni. And what is the 15th night of Adar Sheni? Shushan Purim. Shushan Purim is the night, the 15th day of Adar Sheni, which then based, and therefore it's not the yahrzeit, and therefore she can go ahead and kill her. She has no excuse. And that opens up a whole new mystery. We said this yesterday, is why is Purim on the 15th, 14th, and 15th day of Adar Sheni? Because the first, what? It should be on Pesach when the party was.
Don't wait.
What? Or it should be or the Lech Kinos Eskol Hayim. When did the Jews get together to be Mispalo? They didn't get together on Pesach. And when were the letters sent out? When was the Muhammad was on day 13? Day 13, day 14, and in Shushan they did it another day. Okay, there are answers, obviously, but it opens up an amazing answer that if all these calculations are correct, and this whole drasha is correct, the party upon which the entire story of Purim began with was a party that took place on the 15th day of Adar Sheni. Where did the party take place? In Shushan HaBira. It was at this party Vashti was executed. She was put to death. Vashti was the great granddaughter of the Nebuchadnezzar, was the daughter of Belshazzar. It was truly the end of Golos Bavel. Golos Bavel came to an end. The 70 years of Bavel came to an end on this night. It was 70 years from the time of Golos Yehoyachin, and the last carryover from Golos of Bavel came to an end on this night. And this is the day that we celebrate Purim. Purim basically is the survival. What is Purim in the big picture of things? It's not just the miracle of Purim. When we celebrate Purim, we're celebrating the survival of Klal Yisrael in the Golos of Paras Umada. In the big picture of things, when we celebrate Chanukah, we're not just celebrating the miracle of the Chashmonaim overcoming the Yavanim. We're celebrating Klal Yisrael's survival in Golos Yavan. Golos Yavan was a period of 180 years. It was 180 years when Klal Yisrael were under the influence, under the Shlita of the Yavanim. What?
Yeah, under the dominion.
Dominion of the Yavanim. When we celebrate Hanukkah, we're not just celebrating a period of time of 8 days, of Muhammad. The very difficult time was about 50 years. To study the history, there was a 50-year period of terrible gezeros. Very difficult for Jews to survive. And it culminated with the Chashmonaim overcoming the Yavanim. So you would say, oh, Hanukkah, it's an 8-day holiday, it's a battle. No, it celebrates a survival of 100 180 years. Purim, we celebrate the survival of Klal Yisrael in the period of Paras Umadai. Yitzias Mitzrayim, when we celebrate Pesach, what are we celebrating? We're just celebrating a one-time event, the Exodus. We're celebrating 220 years of slavery, 220 of the influence of Mitzrayim. It's a survival period. Therefore, what better day is there to celebrate Purim than the day when it began? When you commemorate you can either celebrate the very end or the day that it began. When did the beginning of Paras Umadai begin? The beginning of Paras Umadai began to a certain degree with this party. Because this party was the time when Vashti was put to death. Vashti was the last carryover of Nebuchadnezzar. Even though her father was killed and Koresh and Achashverosh and Daryavish HaModai, they all succeeded, but there was still a carryover. When she was put to death, that was the end of the Golas Bavel. Bavel now was completely severed, and now we are fully in the new Golas of Paras HaModai, and yet we survived. So you take the day of that transition, it's also a significant day to focus on. Okay, these are different ideas, just throwing out to appreciate why he selected the Yoidei Ho'itim, the Talmidei Chachamim. They were the first ones that were asked to come and comment on this event. Now, the Medrash does not tell us what happened. I think the next pasuk might say exactly what happened. What exactly did the Chachamim say? They deferred. We will not issue a verdict. Why? And this is a very powerful Musa, because this really defines what Galus is all about. In Galus, it's a no-win situation. Whatever you do is no good. If they're going to tell Achashverosh to kill her, it would be a win-win, seemingly, for Klal Yisrael to get rid of this Machashefa, Vashti, who was the main influence on Achashverosh and preventing the Beis Hamikdash from being rebuilt. But they knew good and well, the Chachamim, that it's only going to be a short time later until Achashverosh has Charata. He's going to remember his lovely wife, the beautiful Vashti, which he will not be able to replace. And then he'll say, who's the one that gave me this bad idea, who put in my mind this advice to kill her? The Jews! Blame the Jews. We'll kill all the Jews. On the other hand, if we keep Vashti alive, they'll decide, no, don't kill Vashti, keep Vashti alive. It's like saying, yeah, let Hitler live. Let him live, let him go on. She would have been worse than Haman. Okay, Haman just tried to recover what Vashti was trying to do to Klal Yisrael. It would be illogical, it would be suicidal for the Chachamim to say, yeah, let Vashti live. There was no one worse than Vashti.
Or she might have done something else to upset Achashverosh. Why did I let them talk me into leaving her alive? Either way.
I mean, the Medrash doesn't say that. Medrash says that. So basically, the Rabbanon, the Yodei Ho'itim, they said that ever since we've gone into exile, what they did was they had an excuse. And they said to Achashverosh, really, we would love to help you, but you have to understand that we're in exile. We have been relocated from our homeland. We're not in a frame of mind when we can issue render a decision. You know, we're busy trying to pay the rent. We're busy trying to set up shop in our new land, in this new land that we've come to, and we don't have the presence of mind to issue a proper decision. That was not true. They did have the presence of mind to issue a proper decision. In fact, they had such the presence of mind to know that whatever they would say would be a suicide, would be a disaster, whether they would paskin that they should be killed, whether they would paskin that they should not be killed. And therefore, they did the best thing, is they said, we're not going to give an answer, and they gave an excuse for not giving an answer. This is the opening of the Megillah, because this indeed is the Musar Haskel for Klal Yisrael in Galus. In Galus, good morning, Klal Yisrael, the Dayanim, the Rabbanim, and Jewish leaders are always in a no-win situation. Look at a politician today. Let's say you want to be a religious politician. I want to influence society. Okay, I want to. So, what's going to happen when they're going to want to vote for the gays, right? Should we allow same gender marriage? So, what are you going to do? You're going to say, the Democrats, their agenda, I mean, at least traditionally, I don't know, everything is changing very quickly today, it's good for the Jews. Traditionally, Jews were always Democrats, so only very recently, in the last 10, 15 years, everyone has changed to become Republican, right? But yet, there are certain things of Democrats which mamash kineged kol haTorah kula. So you want to say, well, you know, there's a difference between what's good for us, what's good for the country. You always have criticism. Whatever you're going to do, you're going to be in trouble. You want to vote for the governor of New Jersey. There was a big machlokes in the governor of New Jersey. There were certain things. One candidate was good for Klal Yisrael in this respect, but he's not morally. His ideas are not kinei kol haTorah kula. And you saw this goes back like 10 years ago. There was a major machlokes among the rabbanim and the Rosh Yeshiva who in New Jersey should be the candidate of choice for the Haredi. Olam. How? And basically, whatever you do is no good. Whatever you do is no good. This is the Musar Haskell for Klal Yisrael and Golos. Here for the first time, this pasuk is a very important pasuk, because here for the first time, we find the Sanhedrin, the Yodei Bina, they're being called upon to make a public statement. What do you say about this situation? Think about today. They're always asking the Haredi world, what does the Aguda say? What does the Aguda say about this situation? What does the OU? We want a statement from the OU relating to the release of Jonathan Pollard. We want a statement from the RCA. We want to hear your statement. Who wants the statement? The secular world. So here's the first time when the Chachamim, the Sanhedrin, the religious organization that represents Klal Yisrael, is being asked to issue a statement concerning public policy. And what is the answer? The answer is defer. Best thing is to say nothing. Because whatever we, not that we don't have what to say, we have what to say, but whatever we're going to say is a no-win situation. Not be twisted. It's just the mitzvah is. It's a no-win situation. That's how the Megillah opens up. Klal Yisrael are finding themselves in Galus. It's only 70 years since the Churban. It's the first major time when they have been settled and they're acknowledged as being a serious player in society, and they're being asked for their opinion. And the Musar Haskell is, you're in Galus, watch out. Whatever you're going to do is a no-win situation. That is a very powerful Nima Musa to take from this pasuk. All right, we'll stop over here.